Good morning, Commission. Yeah. I thank our pastors, Rodney and Brad, for giving me this opportunity to open with you the Word of God. And as you know that we were coming from Lebanon and we came here to study at TMS, and then we're going, God willing, to Egypt. But 3 years ago, when I start telling my friends, my parents, and all the Lebanese people that we're coming here to the state for a few years to study and then go back as missions, almost everyone was telling us, don't come back. Don't come back. Stay there. There is peace. Stay there. Bring passport for your kids. Even have a newborn there so you can get passport. But stay there, because there is peace. We came here. A few months later, our neighbor was packing, and she was leaving. We asked her, why you're leaving? She said, there is no peace here. We cannot stay and live in L.A. We're leaving. If you think now about those who are living in Gaza and Israel and Lebanon, if they can just come and live in L.A., would this be great for them? Yes. If they go and live in Europe, if this will be great for them? Yes. But guess what? Those who are living in Europe are leaving. Why? Because there is no peace there. Everyone is seeking this peace. And no one is finding it. No one is finding it. And they are searching of this kind of peace that the philosophers of the early 90s talked about it. Timon and Pumbaa. The problem-free philosophy. You know it? Did you seek it? This is the problem-free philosophy that everyone is seeking it. And no one is finding it. Everyone is searching for it. And meanwhile, until they find it, they created some kind of solutions like pills, like mental therapy, like yoga, like drugs, like alcohol, until they will find this kind of peace that they are searching for. But still, no one finds it. We might think that, these are the unbelievers, those who does not believe, those who are not in this campus only think like this. But sometimes we also think like this. We are still searching for a different kind of inner peace. And we want to be less fearful, less anxious, and we are still searching. But 2,000 years ago, almost, Paul talked about kind of peace, a specific peace, and he brought it in Romans chapter 5. He introduced a peace, a free peace, no need to move countries or take pills, a peace that all we need. And this peace, we receive it through the work of someone else. I'm sure you know this verse, and maybe you memorized it since Awana or Sunday school. But let's go together to Romans 5, starting Romans 5, starting verse 1. We will spend our time just in verse 1, but I'll read for us the first 5 verses. Paul writes, in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. So Paul spent almost these four chapters before arriving to this point talking about or describing the relation between man and God. And he started in chapter 1. He describes the sinful human nature and God's reaction to it. And he wrote in Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who suppresses the truth in unrighteousness." And then he moved to chapter 2, and he affirms in chapter 2 that no one is excused. And each person will be judged by God because of this sinful nature. And then he continues in chapter 3, and he declares this shocking message for everyone that no one can save himself, or no one can even seek God. And he writes in Romans 3:10, and he quote, "As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understand. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one." And then we come and we arrive at chapter 5, and suddenly Paul affirms, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." What happened between chapter 3 and chapter 5? How Paul moved from being condemned to now declare that now we are in peace with God. So in order to understand this transition or this change, this morning we'll spend our time in Romans 5:1 answering three questions. Three questions in this verse that will help us understand why now we have peace with God. The first question is why we didn't have this peace before. The second question, how we got this peace. And the third question, what does it mean that I am in peace with God? So three questions: why we didn't have this peace, how we got it, and what does it mean that we have peace with God. But before going through these questions, I need to stop and pause for a second. I don't want to deceive you, but we should be realistic. I don't want to tell you that you already have this peace with God and I'm just telling you about it. I beg you, you are the only one who knows if you have this peace or not. I don't want to affirm that you have this peace, but if you feel inside you that you don't have this peace, I beg you, run to Christ today. Seek his forgiveness. Seek to be reconciled to him. And then know what this kind of peace you will have. You will not have it without Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus said, "The one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." That's why this morning, it is a good morning to go to him and ask him for forgiveness and for his lordship in your life. And for all of us who already have been saved, let us enjoy this peace that we have in Christ this morning. Amen? So let's go to the first question, why we didn't have this peace before. And Paul is starting this first verse by saying, "Therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God." So if now we are being justified, it means before a moment, a certain moment, we were not justified. And if you are not justified, it means that you are condemned. Condemned by who? And then he continued and he said, "We have peace with God." So justification brought peace. And if before this point you didn't have peace with God, it means that you were enemy with God. So you were condemned and you were enemy with God before this justification. We were standing guilty and condemned by God. And we were saying that how can we get this peace? From where we can get this peace? So this pre-state of justification, you and me, we were enemies with God, not just far from God. Sometimes we think, yeah, I was not in a good relation with God. No, it wasn't that you were far from God, but you were enemy with God. And that's why in Romans 5, 10, he said that we were enemies. In Ephesians 2, 3, he said, among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind. And we were by nature what? Children of wrath. You cannot be neutral. It is not that you were far. You were enemy. In Romans 6, 17, he said, you were slaves of sin. You cannot fully appreciate the new state that you have in Christ if you don't remember who and where you were before this new state. You will not fully appreciate the peace that you have in Christ now without understanding how big and fearful is the wrath of God was on you. Friends, the wrath of God is something real. While the people around us, the world around us, wants to diminish this fact, the wrath of God is something real. They only want to talk about Jesus loves you. They want to talk about God is love, about peace, freedom. But this was Satan's first attack from day one. In the garden, after God said to Adam, you will surely die if you will eat from this tree, what was Satan's reaction through the serpent to the woman? You will surely not die. There is no condemnation. There is no hell. There is nothing. He will forgive you. This was always the same thing. But this is not the gospel that we read in the Bible. This is not the message of the gospel that we have. And one theologian called it, this is the liberal gospel, and he defines it like this. It is a gospel of a God without wrath, brought man without sin, into a kingdom without judgment, through the ministration of a Christ without a cross. This is the culture that we're living in. There is no condemnation. There is nothing. You can do whatever you want. But the Bible says that we were enemies with God and we were under this condemnation. And Paul in chapter 3, he affirms this. And he said, there is a wrath against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Man disobeyed God and rebelled against him, and now he stands guilty before him. Not only this, every man will stand and give an account before God. And God will judge every single sinner. You know, when two people, when two persons, when two groups, when two nations are in conflict, and if they are close to each other, usually they built walls, right? They put a barrier between these two enemies. Sometimes the UN come and stand between the two, making sure that there is no connection between the two enemies, because this will bring more war, more conflict, right? I will ask you a question. If the one who is your enemy is an omnipresent, an omniscient God, where are you planning to hide? Where are you planning to escape his wrath? If he is everywhere, where are you planning to hide from his wrath? David said in Psalm 139:7, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? The writer of Hebrews in 10:31, he said, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hand of the living God. So what was the consequences of sin? Wrath and condemnation from God. And that's why we were not in peace with him. Because we have broken all his law. And we stand guilty before him. So the first question was, why were we not in peace with God? And the answer is because of our sin and our sinful nature. So let's go and move on to the second question, how we got this peace? How now we got this peace? What happened between chapter 3 and chapter 4? How we moved from being enemies and condemned to have this peace with God? And Paul, in this first verse in chapter 5, saying, therefore, having been justified by faith, that's why we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying what came between chapter 3 and this declaration of peace is justification. And we don't have time to cover justification as a doctrine now, but let's go just to read few verses in chapter 3. Go with me to chapter 3, verses 23 through 26. Chapter 3, verse 23. So Paul is saying, for all we have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith, this was the demonstration, his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And then he continues in verse 28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. There is a lot in these verses, but a good summary of this doctrine or what happened here, I went to biblical doctrine. And the definition of justification is in this way. It is an instantaneous act. It's an instantaneous act of God as a gift by which he imputes to a believing sinner the full and perfect righteousness of Christ. I'll repeat it. It is that instantaneous act of God as a gift of his grace by which he imputes to a believing sinner the full and perfect righteousness of Christ through faith alone, and legally declares him perfectly righteous in his sight, forgiving the sinner of all unrighteousness and thus delivering him from all condemnation. So why we're not anymore condemned? Because of this act of justification. God, through the work of the righteous one, he declared us righteous. It is not our righteousness, it is his righteousness that is imputed on us. And that's why in Romans 8:1, Paul writes, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So justification, you are declared righteous through the work of Jesus Christ, the just who justified, through the life of the righteous one who took your sin and gave you his righteousness, and through his atoning work and propitiation, you are now justified. You are declared righteous before God. And John Murray wrote, propitiation presupposed the wrath and displeasure of God, and the purpose of propitiation is the removal of this displeasure. That's why you are not enemy with God anymore, because someone removed this displeasure. Someone removed this condemnation. When all this happened, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did we help him in all this process? Not at all. not at all. And this is, in verse 1, Romans 5, 1, Paul say, having been justified, a full passive form. You didn't contribute anything to this justification. Titus 3, 5, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. We came to him with empty hands. And this was our faith. Empty hands saying we cannot do it. You do it. This is our faith that you are the one who can save us. This is our faith that we cannot do it. We are sinners. We need your salvation to become right before God, the holy God. So, we were sinners, but now we're saved from God's wrath. We were standing before him as condemned people. Now we're standing in the righteousness of Christ. If you think about, if you want to buy a safe box for your home, how much you will spend money to buy the safe box? You should first think, what I want to put in this safe box. If I'm just putting like $100 bill in it, I will not buy a safe box that cost me $1,000, right? But if I have diamonds, gold, a lot of cash, I might invest in a safe box that costs maybe more than this because I want to protect this diamond, right? People around us want to protect their life, and their life are perishing. It's the same thing that putting useless stuff inside a high, big, solid safe box. It is not like putting $100 bill. It's like putting bananas in the safe box. You know, the bananas today are green. Tomorrow might be yellow, and you can eat it. The day after is black, and you throw it. So there is no good investment to put bananas in a safe box. We are doing the same in our pre-justification state. We were protecting a perishable life. We're protecting a perishable soul condemned by God. And we want to protect it. Creams. Pills. At the end, we're like bananas in the safe box. It is only through Christ Jesus that now our life have value. It is only by what God did for us that now our life has value. So if you're trying to protect your life in the pre-state of justification, you're losing time and energy. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Do not protect a condemned life. So, we were condemned, that's why we were not in peace. We've been justified, that's why we have peace. Now we come to the third question. What does it mean that we have peace with God? Let me first start with what is not peace with God. When we say we have peace with God, it doesn't mean that we'll not have troubles in life. When we say that we have peace with God, it doesn't mean that we will not get sick or our friends and loved ones get sick. When we say that we don't have peace, we have peace with God, it doesn't mean that we'll not be in tribulation and persecution or in distress and trials. This is not the peace of God that Paul is talking about. Because Paul, right after saying we have peace with God, he continues and he says in verse 3, we also exalt in what? In our tribulations. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. So these tribulations are not changing the level of peace that we have with God. This will not affect our relation with God. All this under the sovereignty of God for our character to be sanctified. and to live as He wants us to live. Trials and tribulation will not determine the level of peace that you have with God. It's only the justification of Christ Jesus that will bring you full peace with God. It is not talking about peace through God. He's talking about peace with God. Jesus, in John 16:33, He said, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world." Persecution is coming, trials may pop up, but the biggest problem of this world was solved in the life and death and resurrection of Christ Jesus. If your big problem was solved, why are you afraid? He overcome it. The big problem of this world was sin, and Jesus conquered sin. And He is giving you today a chance through Him to be justified and to conquer sin in His death and His resurrection. I beg you, run to Him. Ask. Don't leave this place before asking the one who's sitting next to you, "I want Jesus. I want this forgiveness. I want to live in peace and with God." Seek one of the elders in this room. Seek one of the pastors in this room. But don't leave without this peace within you. This peace, remove the eternal death, remove the eternal condemnation from God, but in His mercy, in 2 Corinthians 5:19, Paul writes, "Christ, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself." So He justified you, He reconciled you to God, and also He brought you to His family. And all this is by His blood. While we were enemies, now we are reconciled with Him through Christ. Not only justified, it's not only that you are not condemned anymore. You are reconciled to Him. Your relation with Him, your status has changed from enemy to friend. Beakey defines this peace saying, "Peace with God means more than feeling of security. Peace is relational harmony as opposed to conflict." It is not just a feeling. It is a relation change between the one who was condemning you. He's now calling you friend. Not only friend, He brought you to be one of His family. In Ephesians 2:19, "So then you were no longer strangers and aliens, but now fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." Now you became a member of His family. You were enemy, you became justified, you were reconciled in the relation with God, and not only this, He brought you to be one of His family. And now we can call Him Abba Father. And all this happened through Jesus Christ. And if we are children, we are heirs also. And that's why Paul moved in at the end of chapter of this section that we read together, starting verse 2, "Through whom," Jesus Christ, verse 2, "we have obtained also the introduction by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God." So not only our relation change, but also our future change. The peace leads us to look forward for the glory that we have in Him. Our problem was solved in Him, our future with Him is promised. Our problem was solved in Him. Our future is promised with Him. And this is my prayer this day, to enjoy this peace that we have in Christ. Because this peace we have through Christ with God also solved our problem and gave us hope in the future. The first time we met the character of Moses was in Exodus 2. It was a bloody scene. The Pharaoh decided to kill all the newborn to cast them into the Nile. This was the first time we met this character. And a few verses later, we see that Pharaoh's daughter saw Moses and adopted him and brought him into the kingdom, into this palace. And he became one of these, of the member of this royal family, of Pharaoh's family. And he grew up there. But at a certain moment, this relation of adoption was corrupted. At a certain moment, Pharaoh and his family and all this group became enemies of Moses. And this adoption was not valid anymore. Guess what? Your adoption in Christ will not be corrupted. Your peace with God will not end because you didn't do anything to have it. And He did all things to keep it for you. Our peace with God is an eternal peace. Our adoption is an eternal adoption. Jesus Christ's work has sealed our relation with God. His perfect work reconciled us, adopted us, and we now stand in peace that will never be broken again. Amen. So if you don't have this peace today, I'll tell you one more time. Run to Christ. Seek forgiveness. Repent from your sin. He is the only one who can bring you to this family and put you in this real peace. While we will face tribulation in this life, and we might not be in a state of peace, but we know that we have peace with the one who is in control of everything. He is sitting on the throne, and He reigns forever. Amen? Amen. This peace that we all need, and this peace in which we shall all rest. Amen? Let's pray. As the chorus of one of the best songs that we're singing says, your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you. Lord, we thank you for what you did for us while we were yet sinners, doing what is pleasing in our sight, disobeying you, living in enmity with you. Your grace, your love was highlighted in what you did for us, in the life, in the righteous life of Christ, in the death and resurrection of Christ, how you brought us and you opened our heart to come to you and to become one of your family. We thank you, Lord. Forgive us that we sometimes don't live in this new state that we have in you, in this new state of peace that we have with you, in this new state of justified life through Christ because of you. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to live in the tribulation of this word as light to all those who are around us, so they might see our good works and glorify you and come to you. Lord, I pray that if anyone among us is still seeking any kind of peace, that you open his heart and her heart, and you change what sin corrupted, and you bring the righteousness of Christ, and you give them this peace that you brought us. We love you. We praise you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Have a good day and a good week.